So here we are in the third Sunday of Easter, and our gospel lesson is about the resurrection. Seems a little unusual. One of the people I was reading said, make sure you don't try to recapture the excitement and the anticipation of Easter Sunday. And I thought, well, who would? But thanks for the advice anyway. I mean, it's past. Easter Sunday's past. So why do we have this text? Well, and I'm sure there are many reasons why. But the one that struck me, and this is something that we've talked about here and I've talked about in other places, that's been growing on me in the last little while is, what does this tell us about the human body, about creation itself? Bodies matter. It seems like a truism and something we shouldn't really have to say anything about. But I think we do. I think we need to pay attention to the physical reality, the corporeality that we all enjoy. Because we're not careful, we'll fall into this idea that when it comes right down to it, humans are just about souls, and that's all that matters. And my tradition growing up tended to go in that direction. They didn't go completely overboard, but they tended to be in that camp, if you will, that the important thing was the soul. In fact, the only thing that mattered was the soul. The body itself, well, it's just going to go away anyway, so it doesn't matter. But there's some problems with that, and there's some practical problems. One of the outcomes of that often is a particular kind of ruthlessness directed towards your own body that isn't helpful. Some of the more peculiar ascetic practices of some of our fellow religious people fall into that. This idea that if your body gets in the way of your contemplation, that there's something wrong with it and it must be punished. Well, when we look at the resurrection, there's all kinds of things that we can see there. And some of them are obvious and some of them are less so. But one of the things that I think is somewhat less obvious, or that's easier for us to lose track of, because it's now just sort of part of what we know, is that Jesus came back in a body. Did he have to? Well, we say he does now, because that's what he did. But did he have to? I don't know. I don't think he did. If that was a requirement for him to say what he had, that what he said was true, I don't think it would have been quite the shock to the people that he appeared to after he was raised from the dead. But what does it mean that Jesus came back in a body? I think what it does, as much as anything, and there's lots of things that it means, but one of them that we don't want to lose sight of is that Jesus is demonstrating that the body has fundamental value in and of itself. Bodies matter. The created order matters. If we go back to the beginning of the Bible, where Jesus is creating, or where God is creating everything, what do we see? We see God creating things and saying, okay, you're fine. What you're going to do is you're going to hold up human beings whose only purpose is to carry around souls. No, of course not. It doesn't say anything like that. What it says is God created this thing and said it was good, and this other thing and he said it was good, and animals were good, and people were really good. Not just souls, but people. I was reading in Richard Rohr the last little while. He said that the last remark his church history professor had to tell him after 4 years of study with this person, as he was going out the door, he said, remember, the church is more Platonist than Christian. What did he mean by that? Well, we'll have a brief foray into sort of the philosophy of a very influential Greek person who's been dead for centuries, well, millennia. And what Plato posited was that there is a fundamental reality beyond this one. And he called them forms. And so what you have is you have a perfect form there, wherever there is, and everything else is a shadow of that form. So there is a perfect piano somewhere in this other place. And this piano is an imperfect shadow. It's a copy. And what that says is that what really matters is that other place. And what's here is just sort of an irritating hindrance as much as anything. And there's a very strong stream in church history that says that very thing. that says that the body is just a hindrance, that the time will come and we'll leave it behind. The problem is there's no biblical background to that. Nowhere is there any indication that there will come a time when we won't have some kind of a physical presence. We read about spirit and about spirits and our own spirit. We read about the Holy Spirit. There are references even to ghosts when people are making mistakes about Jesus and in some other places. But when you look through Scripture, what do you see? If you look at the beginning and the end, if you look at the bookends of all that we know in Scripture, we have God creating the world that was good, and at the end, we have God recreating the world. Revelation is a confusing book, to be sure. There's parts of it we don't really understand. But what we see there and in a few other places is God talking about how at the end of all things, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. If we don't need bodies, if bodies are just a pain, why do we need an earth? Because bodies aren't just a pain. Because bodies are part of who we are. They affect our soul, if you will. If there is a distinction to be made between the two, and I'm not sure there is, what happens in our body makes a profound difference to our soul, to our spirit, to how we think. We would like, perhaps, to think that our minds and our souls are independent of our body, and we can transcend our body's experience. And, well, some people find that easier, I suppose, than others. But have you ever noticed how difficult it is to have a sunny disposition when you have a migraine? Or even a headache? Or a stomach ache? Our physical bodies affect everything about us. And it seems to work the other way as well. What we think can affect our physical nature as well. They're combined in a way that they can't be pulled apart. Because if they could be pulled apart, and if we could leave this messy body behind, why did Jesus come back in one? That's the thing we simply can't get by. If we want to live in this way of thinking that says that the soul, the mind is all that matters, that the body is just a platform for those things, and at some point it will go away. If Jesus didn't go away, if his body transformed in some way that we don't entirely understand, because at least at one point locked doors didn't seem to be an issue for him, but still a physical being, why do we think that we will someday not have one? Well, I think there's lots of things going into that, not least of which is that for most of us, bodies are a bit of a pain. They don't always work, do they? They break. They fall apart. It seems the older we get, the more they fall apart, the more things we notice. But in Scripture, we don't see this glorious time in the future where we will just be this immaterial something. What we read about are new bodies. I'm looking forward to one of those. I'm not looking forward to nothing. I'm not looking forward to being an immaterial thought or whatever that would look like. I don't even know. I'm looking forward to a body that works all the time. The thought of going for a month without a migraine is pretty exciting. The thought of never having one again is enough to make me ecstatic. For our joints not to hurt anymore. All of those things, that will be accomplished, but it'll be accomplished in a physical body because physical bodies matter. They're not just a frame for your soul. And there's some implications we draw from there. Some of them are obvious. If our body matters, we have to treat it with respect. If your body doesn't matter, then not getting exercise doesn't matter either. Not eating properly, not getting the correct rest, not seeing doctors when you need to, all those things, they just don't matter. Then why would you bother? They do matter. It's not just this idea that, well, I'll take care of it so it lasts longer so I can be in it longer. That's sort of a circular kind of argument that doesn't really make a lot of sense. But if we believe that our body matters, and that it matters to God, and that it was sufficiently valuable for Jesus to have one even after the resurrection, then that says we will take care of it, even when it's kind of inconvenient. We will get that exercise that maybe we didn't really want, and we will turn down that extra piece of pie or whatever it might be that is our particular bete noire. Pie was mine until this whole gluten thing came up. We do that because the body matters. It's not just treating it like a machine that carries us around. This isn't maintenance like you do on your car. You do maintenance to your car because it's a thing, and you want to get the maximum value out of a thing. You don't look at your body from that perspective that says, I'm going to maintain my body so I get maximum value out of this thing that carries around what really matters, my soul or my mind. When I was younger, one of the reasons why this strikes me, because it took me longer to get here than some. When I was younger, I had this peculiar neo-Cartesian view of the mind in particular, and actually said out loud to human beings who can witness to this particular statement that the body was nothing more than a vehicle for the mind. That's a young and foolish person's remark, but it's made by older people too, and I still think it's just as foolish. We were created in a physical body because that's part of what makes us human. It's not a hindrance. It's not something we put up with until we reach enough enlightenment that we don't need it anymore. That's a different religious structure, and it's one that I don't think reflects the reality of a God who came to be just like us. We're going to be resurrected into a body. That one probably won't need the same level of care. At least my view of that new body, the new heaven and the new earth, means that I won't have to work as hard to keep it going. Because the world won't be fallen the same way it is. We won't have the same difficulties that we have with just everything, from viruses to you name it. What happens to the body matters, or Jesus wouldn't have bothered to come back in one and say, look, this is me. Part of that, of course, was to demonstrate that it was him, so people would know it wasn't a ghost. But there's more to it than that. Because respect for the created order shows up all through Scripture. And we've all too often ignored it because we've thought the only thing God cares about is souls. And that's not the case. In the Old Testament, God tells the people of Israel, don't just cut down trees because they're there. What tree ever caused you difficulty? God is sort of the Lorax in some ways. We take care of our bodies because they matter, and it expands from there that we take care of the created order. We take care of the world because it has value as well. Not just because if we pollute it, it'll become less pleasant, although that's true. But we take care of it because that's part of the respect for the created order that God made. And yes, it's fallen, and no, we cannot perfect it, no matter how hard we try, no matter how many people think that's possible. I don't think we and our human ability will perfect the world, but we can sure make it less bad, and we can do everything we can not to contribute to it falling apart. Why do we recycle? Is it just so the neighbors won't look down on us? I hope it's more than that. Part of it is we recycle because that's better for all of us. It's better for the environment. It's better for the world that God created and said, this is a good thing. When somebody hands you something and says, this is one of my favorite books. This is a really good book. Do you just throw it on the ground? Of course not. You value it because somebody else values it. And maybe you've come to value it yourself when you read the book and you understand it. Even if we don't like the world, the fact that God said it's good means that we owe it some respect. And we're part of the world. That's the other thing that this whole notion of bodies, not just souls with physicality, helps us realize. That we are part of this in the same way. We're the best part. The story of Genesis, whatever it tells us that we were made at the end and that the best was saved till last because human beings were said to be very good. But everything else was still good. And it's all part of the same kind of thing. Jesus came back from the dead for all kinds of reasons. And we've talked about lots of different ones because it's such an incredible event that it has more than one aspect, just like most incredible events do. But this is one that we lose sight of at our peril. Because as soon as you start thinking that human beings are just souls that happen to have a body, it makes it a lot more difficult to respect those bodies. It makes it easier to make that step into, well, it doesn't really matter if the hungry get food because, you know, their souls will still be okay. Jesus came back, and yes, he healed demon possession, but he healed bodies too. And after he left, the disciples did the same. Our story in Acts brings that forward, that physical beings were healed. Not just your brain will be better, not just your mind will be better, not just your soul will be better. You couldn't walk? Well, now you can. Why would Jesus do that? And why would his immediate followers do that? And why would we still pray for that if bodies don't matter? Well, we wouldn't. But they do. I've been thinking about this a lot, and you've been part of some of that thinking over the last few years. I think it's popped up now and then, this whole idea that if we're not careful, we'll forget how valuable these things are that we're allowed to walk around in. And if ours are valuable, so is everybody else's. When we start thinking that way, it changes a lot. But how we interact with other people, it changes us a lot about what we think is important. If all we think is that at the end of time, this world is going to be burned up and that's the end of it, then of course you're not going to recycle, because why bother? But if it was created to be good, and even in its fallen state, it's still that same creation, then yeah, maybe we will recycle. Maybe that'll even make it a little more compelling. Maybe it'll make it a little more compelling for us to take care of ourselves and to be alert to the opportunity to help others take care of themselves. This second look at resurrection in this season of Easter didn't go in the direction I might have thought it would a few years ago, but this is where I'm finding myself. This renewed understanding that God loves all of us, not just our souls, but all of us. That's why God provides healing. Has in the past, has for some of us in the present, and will continue into the future. Because they matter. Our physical bodies matter. Because if one of them was good enough for Jesus, I think one's good enough for us too. Amen.